voice of the Northeast, LMFM.
Tuesday afternoon it is. You're very welcome to the show. What a story we have for you later on. Mary Hoy's going to join me. She lost her dog last week with all the fireworks going off. Disaster. Where did the dog turn up? She's in Julianstown. Belfast. When you hear the story, it's a great one. I promise you, that's coming after three in the show. We're looking for a mascot. You know the story, folks. Have you a child, a grandchild, who'd like to lead Dundalk out in the Irish Daily Mail FAI Cup final next Sunday at the Aviva Stadium? They're taking on Cork City. We have loads of people who've been in touch with us with their nominations already. There's still plenty of time. Is there someone you'd like to nominate? Let us know. 1850 715 958 or 53958 by text. Come on ahead. You're quite welcome to. Give us a name and we'll be calling somebody a little bit later on in the show. Father Nick Smith is here. 50 years a priest. He's never worked in Ireland. He's originally from Drogheda. He's based in the States all those years. He's with me after 2 o'clock. And I just want to mention one more thing to you today before we begin. Keith Barry is joining us on Late Lunch next Monday, top of the show. Would you like to come in and meet Keith Barry? Would you like to have a bit of crack with him on Late Lunch? The invitation is there for you today. If you would, call us now on the same numbers, text us, and we'll be in touch with you. So that's next Monday, Keith Barry live on Late Lunch, and he's looking for some of our listeners to pop in and have a chat with him while he's here. You know the story with Keith. Now, the World Health Organization caused a bit of a stir, to say the least, last week when they suggested a link between the overconsumption of processed red meats and cancer. I'm sure the news was grist to the mill for non-meat eaters who still remain in a minority in what's regarded as the developed world. Or was it? Roger Yates and Rod Shisnu are committed vegans and they join me now for a meat-free late lunch. Well, boys, you're very welcome to the show.
Thanks, Jerry. Thank you very much.
What about last week, Roger?
Can I put my name down to be the mascot?
I second that.
I know you'd love to, Roger, but can I, with no disrespect, you're a young enough man still, but you might be just a bit long in the tooth, you know what I mean, to be a mascot for the dog. Is that okay? Anyway, back to the point of the conversation. It's great to have both of you here because Sunday was World Vegan Day and it's in the news all this week as well. What did you make of that announcement by the WHO last week?
Well, it's just a long thing in the, you know, in the run of things, really. You know, there's lots of health issues with relation to eating flesh and stuff. It was just one in the long run for me. Also, I didn't really see it as an animal rights issue, you know, in the sense that it was focused on red meat. And when people say red meat, then they tend to think about, you know, beef, lamb, whatever. And usually what that means for people is, well, in that case, I'll switch to so-called white meat. And if not that, I'll ramp up the omelets and the eggs and the cheese. So for me, it wasn't really much of a story except in the sense that we've had a whole list of this kind of stuff, you know, which suggests that eating flesh is not good. You know, we kind of say that we're omnivores, and when people hear that phrase, they tend to think, well, that's 50% of one and 50% of the other. You know, there's a lot of evidence about our kind of ancestral diet that we can tolerate a small amount of flesh, but it shouldn't be a large amount. And the amount that we're eating now is very deleterious to health. I mean, all the experts say that. You know, that's not vegan experts, that's just experts, yeah.
But you do accept that from time immemorial, man did feed on animals, on meat, be it chicken, be it fish, be it, you know.
No, I don't accept that. And it's interesting now because there's a lot of research which is starting to question that in the sense that there is a lot of research now saying that anatomically we're herbivores. We tend to think that we're omnivores, and that's a cultural thing. We like that. But when we were herbivores, the story goes, is we were more like scavengers. Now, this is not the, you know, on an ideological level, that's not the image that we like. We like the idea of, you know, man the hunter. You know, those kind of books that we watched in the schools, and, you know, you saw a bunch of guys and they've got the mammoth and there's all the spears. We like that. We don't like the idea that we're herbivores waiting for the lion to leave the kill and then we go and see what's left.
So you have a different take on the evolution of man in terms of what we consume and eat today.
I'm looking at some, you know, recent studies about this because, again, it's really interesting. If you look at anthropology, for example, the first anthropologists were men, and they interpreted whenever they found a sharp implement, they thought weapon. When more feminist-inspired anthropologists did stuff in the 1970s, they started saying, well, hang on, that could be for scraping this and for scraping that. And so they had a different interpretation. So it's looking at the same data, but there's a new interpretation of it. That's what I'm saying.
But regardless of how it evolved today, you do agree, as I said there a few moments ago, vegetarians and vegans are in a small percentage in the developed world. Now, how does that work elsewhere? Are we getting the full picture there?
Well, funny that came up in a debate not long ago, because it used to be said in the 80s, I remember saying this, and there is a film of an animal rights philosopher saying this, that most of the human population are actually vegetarians. And what was,
does that still hold, Roger?
No, that's the thing. What was being said then is that most people in India and most people in China were vegetarians, and that's the change. And because obviously, in terms of what's seen as kind of good in terms of culture, as soon as you start to get affluent, then the meat eating rates go up. So the amount of meat eaters in
China and India has gone way up.
Yeah.
And Western influence as well going in there.
Well, that's the point.
That has to be a point as well, hasn't it?
Yeah. I mean, you get kind of McDonald's versions in India, you know?
Yes.
Doing kind of Mac curry or whatever.
Now, will you remind everybody, being a vegan, you do not eat meat, fish or poultry, but besides that, products associated with animals such as eggs, dairy products, honey, things like that, no?
Yes, we just avoid animal products, yeah, that's right. But you know, it's part of our philosophy, though. You know, in the sense that veganism is not a diet. That's the first thing to say. It's a justice for all philosophy, and so we just extend the justice for all bit over the species barrier. That's just the difference.
So you don't believe we should catch fish and use them for the table? We shouldn't, you know, cultivate chickens on chicken farms? Or even, like, there are chickens that have the run of the countryside and they lay eggs and that as well. They seem to me to have a very happy life. You know, this is it. No, definitely not.
No, well, in the chicken thing, actually, I gave a talk at the Veg Fest, which we'll get to, I'm sure. And the backyard chicken thing came up, really. You know, and my position on that is a rights-based position. And I kind of just think, well, who did the labour to lay the eggs? Well, it's the chicken. So it's a chicken's property here we're talking about, you know. And so from a rights-based point of view, we just kind of leave them alone.
So leave everything alone. Leave the chickens be. Let them lay away. Ad infinitum. Don't touch the cattle. Leave the fish. Multiply in the seas and the lakes. And
well, most of the cattle wouldn't be there. I mean, this is one of the interesting things about veganism, in the sense that there would be less so-called domesticated animals. Some people call it domesticated animals, but there would be a lot more space for free-living animals within the vegan world.
Let's bring in your colleague, Rod Shisnu. You're very welcome, Rod, to Late Lunch this afternoon. Now, we know Roger's been a vegan. By the way, how long, Roger, are you a vegan?
It's 36 years and 10 months, I think.
Happy birthday.
That says something to me. He's counting the months. Rod, when did you join the vegan family?
14 days.
I'm very, compared to Roger now, I'm very new to it. But, I mean, veganism itself is very new. I mean, it started in 1944. And actually, just on Sunday was its 71st birthday. It started with five people in a pub. And went on now to, I think there's billions around the world now of vegans, you know. And just people, it's just become very normal now.
But why you? You were raised as somebody who consumed
meat. Like yourself, Jerry,
yes.
Like everybody, we're all socialised into it. I mean, it's just like everything in the world. We were born into it. The advertising companies have been going and marketing companies for hundreds of years. I mean, it's not a new thing. So they tell us what is right and wrong, and we believe it. But I said to myself, I'm going to look into this a little bit more. I'm not sure about that. And I watched a film called Earthlings. You can still see it on YouTube. It's free to watch. And it shows the five ways animals are used. And I thought, OK, that's interesting. I'll give it a go. And it showed about clothing, food, entertainment, sport and testing on animals. I said, OK, let's see. Is this necessary, first of all? And then even if it is necessary, is it ethical to actually use another living being? Because as you know yourself, Jerry, they're not machines. They do feel pain. They do suffer. And then I thought, but even if you kill an animal in their sleep, very gently with music, it's still not right to take a life. That's what we all believe. It's just we haven't pushed it that bit further to all living beings.
Yeah, we talk about human life rather than we don't regard animal or fish life or poultry as on the same level as human life.
Exactly. You know,
but you believe we should?
About, well, we're not talking about giving animals the vote. We talk about animal rights. And we're not talking about animals kind of going to school or driving cars. A lot of people laugh about that. But what we are talking about is the inherent right that we all have on this planet to live a life that we're happy with till the end of our natural life, and that we don't do any harm to anybody else. And I think that's a very good thing to aim towards.
So obviously you were convinced, having done your research, looked more into this. When did you declare vegan?
Well, basically for myself, it was overnight. I was vegetarian for a while when I was looking into the whole thing. But when I saw Earthlings, and it's such an amazing documentary, that I said to myself, look, I have to. There's no other way around it. I don't want to hurt an animal. I know, Jerry, you wouldn't want to hurt an animal. I just didn't know about it. And then when I found out about it, I says, I can live without these and I can be very healthy. And actually, I found out I was healthier. And this was there, and it tackled environmental problems, it tackles human rights problems, it tackles it the whole gamut. And I said, this
long,
is for me.
How long are you a vegan now?
I'm 7 years a vegan, so I'd still consider myself the early days of being
and,
vegan.
You know, you made the transition quite quickly. You know, vegetarian was sort of the stepping stone, and then you became vegan.
Had you
withdrawal symptoms?
I didn't. I thought I would do. And the only thing that I regretted was that I didn't do it sooner.
And in terms of your health, you look a healthy looking guy.
Thanks, you too, Jim.
And Roger looking very well also, as he always does. But do you feel in those 7 years, have you had many health issues? Do you feel deprived of vitamins, nutrition?
No, not at all. I mean, nowadays I feel much healthier. I mean, just everything that I had before. I had a few allergies before. I drank a lot of milk and, you know, and ate a lot of meat. And once I stopped that, it took me a while, the taste buds to change over, maybe a couple of weeks. But once I got into it, it was really quite easy and I felt a lot healthier.
Yeah, similar with me. I used to suffer from migraine when I was a kid. And as soon as I went vegan, they all cleared up and they don't come back. Oh, Rod mentions the pub, right? The birth of veganism. The breaking news for Ireland is that Guinness is going vegan as of next year.
And it doesn't deprive you when it comes to having a pint in your local, does it, veganism?
We're not deprived at all. No, not at all.
But, you know, I was just thinking about this. I did try on the show here once to go vegetarian for a couple of weeks. I think I told you this before.
You did, yeah.
And I honestly found it very difficult. The withdrawal symptoms were tough. And what I found about it is, this is a big commitment in life, is it not, Roger? You know, in terms of being careful that you don't, you know, cross over and eat something you shouldn't, in terms of the foodstuffs that you have to prepare in a home. You know, say you decide to do it or I do, the rest of my family mightn't want it. That's not easy.
No, I accept that. And if you remember our conversation last time, I kind of said that you hadn't done it long enough, in the sense that we talked about training of a palate. You know, you talked about Brussels sprouts and all that kind of stuff. And you were saying you didn't like them at first, but now you love them and all that.
Yes.
You know, and so you kind of didn't do it long enough in a way. But the thing about that, and going
my
back,
family and friends would disagree with you. They couldn't wait to get a sausage cooked on the grill and give it to me after a fortnight.
Oh, well.
You know, but go on.
But, you know, the going back to the idea that veganism is a philosophy, there is some research that's saying that the people who, as it were, fall off the wagon are the ones who don't do it for ethical reasons. Whereas if you've got an ethical reason to do something, then it just gives you, you know, you're kind of like a bit more stubborn, I suppose. And you know,
ethics is huge in this. Besides what you put on your plate and you consume, it's the ethical nature of the whole movement. This is the big philosophy behind it.
Yeah, because, you know, you start asking about veganism in kind of negative terms. You say, oh, well, you can't do this and you don't do this and everything. Whereas when we talk about it, we talk about what we're for, like we're for non-violence and we're for justice, you know, and we're for the early vegans were kind of part of the peace movement, and there were still a lot of people who would see it that way. So there's a lots of, you know, I mean, who's not for justice? You know, it's just as, again, we bring it over the species barrier and then we try to include all, in Rod's terms, earthlings. My generation's earthlings was called the Animals film from 1982. Mm. It was a very similar kind of film. But I know what he means, because, like, you're watching something and you're thinking, you know, I can't be doing with this, really, you know, and you've got to do something about it.
It's meat free on Late Lunch for the next while with Rog and Rod. Stay with us. Yes, if you're vegan, vegetarian, or if you love your meat and you want to comment, Roger Yates and Rod Shishnu are with me on Late Lunch, and we're talking about veganism in the world today. Hi, Jerry. Do you think the starving people of the world would eat Brussels sprouts and carrots? I don't think so, said Fergal. Well, I think if you're starving, Fergal, you will eat. You'd eat anything if you don't have the food.
Plus the fact that's a really bad argument, because a vegan world would be able to feed the people who are starving, because what happens now is that most of the grain that is produced goes for feed rather than food. You know, that's a really bad argument. It's the other way around. A vegan world would be able to feed those people rather than see them starve. There is enough food in the world, but we choose to give it to so-called livestock rather than starving.
Is that a fact? Will that stand up?
That's right, yeah.
53958 is the text number if you want to message us on Late Lunch. Are you happier? Do you feel happier with
it? I'm always ecstatic.
He is. I can vouch for that.
Yeah, I think if you've got a... Again, I always take it back to ethics, because, you know, that's what it is for me. And I'm also a rights-based animal rights person. And so for me, if I'm kind of living my life in accordance to my values, then that makes me very happy. You know, and I think a lot of people are like that. You know, once they've got something to believe in, you know, they go for it. I mean, obviously, you know, for some people, you know, I'm a sociologist. For a lot of people, that will be in terms of their career and that kind of stuff, or the amount of time they spend on their family, that kind of thing. But you can also get that kind of fulfillment by living your values. And I think that's what vegans do.
Can I go sort of halfway down the road here? Like, can I still keep a little bit of meat and fish and chicken in my diet and, you know, push on the other side, eat more vegetables, head in that direction? Am I doing any good if I do that even?
Well, I'd answer that by saying that what we used to say in the movement is go vegetarian and then think about going vegan. What we say nowadays is be as vegan as possible. So, yeah, what you could do is every given, you know, in terms of dietary things, is every given moment think about, well, you know, is there a plant-based version of X, Y, or Z? At the same time, if you were then to check out the writing about the philosophy, that will help the dietary thing. The diet follows the philosophy.
Will I be driven mad looking at labels in supermarkets when I go shopping? Will this become a nearly unbearable exercise?
No, Jerry, because you only have to look at a label once and then you know that product what it is afterwards. And that was one of my kind of worries when I first started out. I thought, will I have to do this ongoing? It's very simple. And a lot of people do it anyway for other reasons. You look at the label, you know what's in the product, and then you say, that's fine, I can have that. I mean, I choose to have that. And I know I'm not doing any harm to anybody, so it works out for it. It's very easy.
Am I goosed as regards going to my favourite restaurant? I decide tomorrow I'm going to make this shift and look,
you're
I
not
can't.
Even allowed to say goosed.
Sorry, it was supposed to be meat-free for this while on the show. But am I in trouble?
No.
What have you? Have you?
I still go to, I mean, restaurants, all restaurants nowadays, they're delighted to be able to maybe prepare you something and show you what they can do. And a lot of times people have looked at my meal and said, actually, can we have that? You know,
the key to it is to contact in advance, isn't it?
That's it. Yeah. That's what you
contact
do.
Them in advance.
Give them a shout. Yeah. And they'll sort it out for you.
And it's very simple. Yeah.
Now, the 1st of November, World Vegan Day, and of course here in Ireland, you guys involved in marking this and celebrating it. I was looking on YouTube earlier today at the Dublin Veg Fest, which happened at the weekend. I do say to you, I was surprised by the turnout. You got a huge response.
Absolutely huge. I mean, it was well over 1,000 people at least. We had over 35 stalls of all vegan products. I saw people coming in with awe in their face and their jaws dropped when they saw the whole of what was set up for them there. I mean, we didn't even expect that so many people, like, you know, you come in thinking you're the only vegan in the village and suddenly you realise there's so many other vegans there.
There was great speeches, I forgot that bit. There was great speeches.
There was fantastic speeches, absolute joy. And music, we had performances, we had talks, cosmetics, food, everything vegan was there. And it was one of the main events of Dublin this year, I have to say.
A performing pig with a guitar. Now, Roger, that doesn't sit with you guys.
Well, obviously there is a human being inside.
Yes, of course.
It's rather obvious because he has to take his trotters off
to play. I saw that.
You know,
Pig Floyd.
It was wonderful guitarist.
Pig Freud. The original name was Pig Floyd, for obvious reasons, you know, the pun.
Yes.
But I think there's a legal case about that, so it's now Pig Freud. But it, for me, it was great. I used to be a sound engineer in the 70s, you know, and so it was great to be a roadie again. And, you know, I'm quite proud to be a roadie for a pig. I don't mind that at all.
Now, you have an initiative going on at the moment involving this van. What's the name? Neville is the name of the van, and it's the Vegan Information Project. Mm. Oh, bad news. I heard a meat eater did something despicable on your van today.
Absolutely. I was appalled, disgusted and devastated, Jerry. No, the van was clamped overnight, and so I just had to pay an €80 fee.
How much?
€80. I thought I was going to be late for this very interview, so it was that devastating.
There's something sinister behind this. Yeah. I think there's an agenda
I think
here.
The meat tray would just stop him from getting here.
They'd never, would they? What is the Vegan Information Project about, Roger? What are you trying to do?
It's about education. And again, it's we take an intersectional view. What that basically means is that we're looking at issues in the round, and so it kind of involves anti-racism, you know, some feminism, this kind of thing. Again, it's a kind of issue about justice, and so we'll talk to people about anything on those kind of levels. And we needed the van because, as I explained to you in one of my previous interviews, we kind of wanted to go big. Our latest big thing was that we were going to go on a kind of animal rights tour of Ireland, the first one ever. And we bought a caravan for that very purpose. Unfortunately, the caravan was smashed into and smashed up, and there was a spare key for the van in the caravan, and they stole the van and all the contents.
Oh, no. And who would do that? Is that just wanton vandalism?
Actually, the interesting story is that they stole the van in order to steal a motorbike, in order to use the motorbike in a robbery.
Yeah, but did you get it back?
Yes. Yeah, but poor old Neville was damaged. So it was a few days before his next kind of, you know, the van version of NCT. And so he failed because of the damage that they did. Because it was like a Hollywood thing. The police car came to the front of the van to stop the van going up. So they threw the van into reverse, smashed into the car behind to create space. And then there was like a chase through Ringsend in Dublin. And the only reason that the van stopped is because there was a dust cart in the way, and then everybody fled, you know.
The only time you'd cheer when a dust cart is blocking the road when you're mad to get by them yourself.
Neville's got his test again on Thursday.
NCT.
Yeah, it's kind of like a van version of it.
Yeah. Okay, well, look, that's good news that you got it back and you're on the road with your campaign. Jerry, I'm just curious, listening to your guest there, when they do go to a restaurant, what type of food do they order? Vegetables.
I, the same as everybody else. We just don't use any animal products. I mean, there's plenty of choice.
Yeah, I mean, the question really, you know, like if you go to, you know, a Japanese restaurant or a Chinese or a Thai, you know, there's loads of options there.
And tofu. So,
yeah, the tofu and all that, and noodles and everything else. But the point is, what you would do is, if you're making plans with your friends and they say we're going to go to X, the first thing you do is just check out their menu, and then from there, you then tend to think what you would do. For example, if there is like a pizza, you know, franchise that you can actually take your vegan cheese if you want in the block, and they'll use
bring
that.
It with you.
Yeah,
and so, they'll use it.
Yeah. So,
but what are you talking about? Stir fries with vegetables, noodles, rice, all that type.
You can now eat anything that anybody else eats. I eat pizza, stir fries, spaghetti. You can have vegan burgers. You can have anything. You're not missing out, and I really mean that. You really aren't in this
vegan
day
ice
and age.
Cream.
So if I had a blindfold and I have a vegan burger, well, I think I'm.
You would love it, Jerry.
Really?
You would absolutely love it. I tell you, you wouldn't look back.
Actually, it's funny, really, because things have really improved lately. I mean, you know, I've been a long-term vegan, as you know. When in the 70s, they used to be able to make the taste, but they could never make the texture. Putting those two together was very difficult for them. But now they've cracked it, as it were, but it's taken 30 years. So eventually now we're starting to get the taste and also the texture. For the people who like that kind of stuff, there's a lot of vegans that don't really go for the vegan meats and stuff, you know.
Here's the big question. You guys are small in number in Irish context, in a European, in a world. I was looking at the States there, and 1% of the population of America vegan, you know, 5% vegetarian. It is a small number at the end of the day. Do you feel at times that you're like King Canute trying to stop the tide?
Well, maybe, but the VegFest thing was good for us in that sense, because we saw all these people we've never seen before, and they're all saying they're already vegan. And you see that on the streets. You know, you set up a stall on the streets, and people are coming up all the time and saying, oh, I'm vegan. You know, some people have been vegan for a week, others have been vegan for a year, others for 10 years. But you've never seen them. So there is actually a thing in the movement about, you know, why a lot of these vegans not active in a kind of campaigning sense. But there's a lot of, if you like, just practicing vegans, but they're not, as it were, in-your-face vegans like me and Rose.
So you don't want to push veganism down our throats. Convince.
No, it's about informing people. I think people themselves would decide. I mean, the thing is, it's just that people don't have the information. If you go on YouTube and watch the film Earthlings as a starting point, I mean, there's wonderful people out there. There's animal sanctuaries and animal rescues. I mean, for the Dublin Veg Fest, some of the profits was going to Back Into Daylight Animal Sanctuary. You've got Eden Farm Animal Sanctuary. I know you know of that.
That's
one,
on our doorstep here.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Your interview was brilliant.
Yes.
And I mean, there's wonderful things happening at the moment. Just people need to get to know about it. And I mean, you do this by just looking it up on the internet, and you'll see it's quite a normal, natural thing, and now quite popular to be vegan.
I'm going to leave it at that for today, gentlemen. Thank you so much for joining me on the show. As always, I have enjoyed our conversation. Roger Yates and Rod Shishnu, thank you very much.
Thank you, Jerry. LMFM. The people